Hey there, and welcome to Southridge Online on this Memorial Day weekend. Now, whether you're tuning in from the lake, the backyard, or you're still trying to figure out with your family what you're grilling tomorrow, thank you for taking time for this. Now, seriously, we believe that God drew you here today, and that's not an accident. And even though we're not meeting in person on Sunday, we're still gathering, just a little more scattered than usual. Today's music comes from our partner church in Atlanta. And the message is something that we've done before on Memorial Day weekends. It's also one that we prayed will move you. And here's what we mean. It's not just a reflection on the national holiday. It's a reminder of a deeper identity. I'm grateful to be an American. And as grateful as we are to live in this country, our ultimate allegiance is to King Jesus. He's the one we ought to be longing for. He's the one who shapes how we live, how we love, how we remember, especially on a weekend like this. Now, we're gonna be together for about 30 minutes, and if you've got questions or you want someone to talk to, you can always reach us at info@southridge.us. If you do live in Fredericksburg, we hope to see you in person next Sunday at 9 or 10:30. Online's great, but there is something irreplaceable about gathering together in person. You know, those singing loud and maybe hugging somebody, if you're into that, or just doing life with people who care. So thanks again for joining us. May your heart be full, maybe stirred toward Jesus today, and maybe, just maybe, you'll see this weekend a little differently because of it. Have a good one. Well, guys, good morning. For those watching and listening online, thank you for taking the time to do that. Hopefully you are enjoying your Memorial Day weekend. Please don't forget why we celebrate this weekend for those who have lost their lives on behalf of our country. We also want to say thank you to our volunteers. You all provide excellent care and programming for our kids, our students, and our adults, and we would not be where we are without you. We want to say thank you. We appreciate our online campus. We appreciate why it exists. It helps us to further our message for those who live outside of our area. It also provides for those who cannot make in person, it allows them to have some type of connection to our church. Now, I believe we live in the greatest political experiment of all time, the United States of America. We live in the greatest country on the planet because of our founding values, which are built on freedom and independence. If you think about it, this independence allowed our rights to be aligned with two things, liberty and responsibility. Think of the First and Second Amendments just for a second. Think about those. Think about why those were written. It was written in light of breaking free and staying free from a tyrant king. And these rights, like the right to bear arms, were built on the values of having liberty and taking responsibility. Now, our founding fathers took the very best of the Roman Republic, which was their defense of liberty, effective military strategies, and then Sinatus's decision to surrender power and thus almost like what we would call retire. You think about the downfall of the Roman Republic. You had economic mismanagement and corruption, and they were rooted in pride. In fact, Thomas Jefferson uses the word, quote, degenerate, unquote, to describe the Roman Republic's Senate before its fall. And this downfall transitioned the Republic into an empire, which we read throughout the New Testament writings. And America is looking more like the Roman Empire than the Roman Republic. It's true that we as a country do not need to suffer the same fate as Rome because we were founded on two truths that Rome was not founded on. The first truth is that God provides all of us inalienable natural rights, and number two, that all people are created equal. Now, that was foreign to Roman thought. And this is rooted on how they view things. They view the spiritual differently than how we view it. See, they believed in gods who put up with humans. They desired humans to live with an eye to the sky fear or mentality. And these gods had backstories filled with deception, greed, fighting, and lust. And look, it was going to be natural. We talked about this last week in his book, We Become What We Worship. G.K. Bill talks about that we begin to mirror we begin to resemble what we worship. And that's what was happening. The Roman leaders began to reflect in their lives what they were worshiping. Their lives started to be filled with deception, greed, fighting, and lust. Now, our founders were rooted in the Bible, which was respected and revered. And from understanding their context and the founding documents, they did everything they could to provide a system that was best for all people. And they probably understood that no system was going to be perfect because of men and women were leading, and those men and women were not perfect. So with all that being true, America is looking a lot more like Rome than ever before. Last year, the Wall Street Journal conducted a survey, and it found that there are these principles of patriotism, religion, having children, community involvement, and tolerance. All of those values were not important anymore. In fact, they fell. Patriotism fell to 38%. Religion fell to 39%. Having children fell to 30%. Community involvement fell to 27%. And tolerance fell to 58% of what people valued as important. I really believe that when it comes to America, we truly have two Americas, the 65 and older America and the under 30 America. You think about religion for a second, 55% say that's important if you're over 65. If you're under 30, 31% thinks that's important. Patriotism was at 59% for those over 65, 23% for those under 30. Now, surveys are only as honest as the people being surveyed. So what if these surveys are true? Why has faith, having kids, being involved in our communities, working hard, why are those values not important anymore? Maybe it's individualism. Our culture values individualism. You do you. You have your truth. Like, people want to live by their truth. Like, if I heard people tell me, well, the Bible is outdated. People want a deep desire for affirmation and influence without hard work. You ask any kid what they want to do. They want to be a famous YouTuber. They want to be an influencer. They think there's a lot of money without a lot of work. How about life without responsibility? Or they want to live without taking responsibility. You've heard people, I'm sure, say this: well, it's someone else's fault. It's not my fault, it's someone else's fault. James White sums it up pretty well. He says, quote, as a result, children would be an imposition and financial burden. Serving others would take away from serving ourselves. Working hard beyond what it takes to stay employed takes away from personal time. See, those in Rome valued themselves, valued their desires, valued their feelings, valued their truth above everything else. And as the gods did, so did they. Like, it is going to be natural for you and I to reflect in our lives what we are worshiping. So what is the thing? Who is the person that you're putting your hope in? What or who are you giving yourself to? What or who are you willing to drop everything for? Notice what Paul writes to those living in Rome under the tyranny of Nero. To all in Rome who are loved by God, called to be his holy people. God has called you and I, just like he did the church in Rome, to live separate, different, or set apart lives. That's what holy means. It means to be different or set apart. And for those living in Rome, it meant several things. And he writes throughout the letter five things for them to focus on. The first is not being ashamed of the gospel. The gospel is the message of Jesus, who's born. He lived the life that we could not live. He died the death we ought to have died. He came back from the grave, defeating death, defeating hell, defeating our enemy. And then one day he's coming again. That's the gospel. That's the message of hope. And he says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. First to the Jew, then to the Gentile. Second thing he talks about is making ourselves fully available to God and his purposes. He says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world. If the pattern of this world is individualism, avoid that. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Like, think about it for a second. One of God's purposes for us is to make babies and raise kids. Like, that is something that he has purposed us to do. The early church bought into that. The early church lived that out. Like, one of the values of the early church in Rome is that they would adopt babies who were thrown out in the elements. They were thrown on the garbage dump. They didn't care what the babies looked like, what condition they were in. They would nurse those babies back to health, and they would adopt those babies. They would raise those kids. Number three, we have responsibility in our temporary home no matter the hostility. He says, let everyone be subject to governing authorities, including Nero. For there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Because of that, it is necessary to submit to the authorities, not only because of possible punishment, but also as a matter of conscience. And this is also why you pay taxes, for the authorities are God's servants who give their full time in governing. Give to everyone what you owe them. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor. Nero was a brutal dictator, and Christians were still to pay taxes, even if it went to their own persecution. God allowed Nero to be Rome's emperor for 14 years and allowed Nero to have free will to abuse his authority. Now, here's what the Christians understood. They were willing, not that they wanted to or they signed up voluntarily to do this, but they were willing to go to prison. They were willing to die for their faith because they knew that they were living, that this was not their eternal home. They knew that their soul would live on. They had eternal life, but they knew that their bodies would not. They understood that their true allegiance was to God, not to Rome, not to Nero. They had an eternal perspective, but they were going to do everything they could to live a life that honored God here on this earth. Four, abandon individualism or a me-first mentality, especially in the local church. Serving is how we show we are followers of Jesus. Notice what he says. He says, be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. And then five, tolerance is not affirmation. Just because I tolerate something doesn't mean that I affirm the decisions that person has made. He says, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. My hope is that this has us thinking about our values and how they are aligned with God. We should be incredibly grateful that God has allowed us to either be born here in this country or become a citizen of this country. As we make the most of living in this temporary home and we long for our eternal life with King Jesus, if the values that founded our nation are aligned with the Bible, why not pursue them? Why not pursue them? The early church in Rome, they lived out God's values and it outlasted the Roman Empire. Now listen, Rome was not founded on the same principles as America. So imagine the impact on living out God's values in America, which was founded on the values influenced by the church. Perhaps those survey numbers can flip. So two questions to think about. Have you thanked God for allowing you to be born and become a citizen? And number two, what is one thing in your life that needs to change as you live as a Christian in America? Well, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're incredibly thankful for everything that you've done. Thank you for allowing us to see the example of the early church and what they were able to do and how they outlasted the Roman Empire. We thank you that they model for us values to live by. Father, we ask that you will help us recognize that we ought not to be ashamed of the gospel. Thank you for everything that you do for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
children of generations, of every nation, of kingdom come. So don't let your heart be troubled. Hold your head up, I don't fear no evil. Fix your eyes on this one truth. God is madly in love with you. So take courage, hold on, be strong. Remember where our help comes from. Oh, 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 oh. Jesus, our redemption, our salvation is in.
Clean hands, pure hearts, good grace, good God, His name is.